Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's guest, it's a welcome return for Mr. Bob Parks, fresh from his exposure on BBC4, the R&B feeling. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hello. You're going to put the record on first?
The record?
Yeah, Bobby Bland.
Bobby Bland?
That's me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here
so
you go.
But you don't want to give us a rundown on
no.
how this program... Okay.
When I thought I was so high above you, you were so good to me. Even though you knew I didn't love you, still good to me. And when it used to make me happy to see you cry, you were so good to me, and that's no lie. You used to call me Bobby, little boy blue. You said, I remember, baby, when you cried all night long. I know now, darling, I was doing you wrong. If I had $1 million, I'd give you every dime just to hear you call me Bobby one more time. You used to call me B. Oh,
okay.
It's great.
So that was Bobby Blue Bland with Little Boy Blue from Little Bobby Parks.
That's it, yeah. Is Decker there? Is John there yet?
No.
No. Decker, are you all right? Because we haven't got John yet.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, man.
I mean, I can try and ring him or something. Or
yeah, give him a call.
So who are we talking to, Bob?
Right, there's a show on the Victoria and Albert Museum right now, Psychedelia, 66 to 1970. So for this show, we're recreating 1966 to 69, Leicester College of Art, but Leicester.
Yeah.
And William, you're from Leicester and you were in there.
Yes.
You're from Leicester.
I am, yes.
And Decker and John and me, we were all at Leicester College of Art.
We might all have been walking down the same street and not known each other.
Yeah.
I could have probably passed you and had no idea.
Yeah, Saxbury Road I used to live on.
It's taken 40 years or something to catch up.
Yeah.
So who's your friend? Who is it Decker?
Yeah.
What's the... You were all at art school in Leicester.
Yeah.
So you're all artists still?
Well, none of us are artists, but we were all...
Okay.
We were all people.
People? And,
yeah.
Just happened
and Decker,
to go to the
Decker,
art school?
No. We had a factory space in the last year from 68 to 69, and it was round the corner from the art school. Harry Thubron got us that, and he of John Thompson fame. John Thompson then went on to, Goldsmith, and he fostered all the Damien Hirst and co, the whole...
Uh-huh.
A lot of those people. He was head of art there. Now, that was after us.
So he fostered you first?
No, we fostered him. Because I want to talk about Peter Quince. Decker, do you remember when Peter Quince got John Thompson in the corner and made him cry?
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
You don't?
No.
You've still got a Leicester accent, Decker.
He's not Leicester.
No, I'm Cumbrian.
Cumbrian? Oh, you must have picked up Leicester.
It's a long time since I've been to Leicester.
Right.
Yeah. Right, I've got to ask you something else then, Decker, because you know John. John was in Reds, Yanks and Superman 2. What?
Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's him. Yeah. And he left doing these big Oldenburg screwed-up newspapers of cars and things, and that was when about halfway through the third year?
Or less?
He took off, in it? Anyhow.
Yes, he did. He started the third year, but he didn't finish it. He went to London and joined. He joined a mixed media group called Moving Being that are still around. A friend of his, Jeff Moore from Newcastle, had set his company up, and it was one of the innovative dance, music, video, performance thing at the time. They were based in The Place in London.
Right.
When I was at the Slade, I used to go and I spent quite a lot of time around there with him.
All right, because he made a hit at the Edinburgh Festival with his Lenny Bruce, didn't he?
And I think a Billy the Kid performance.
Aha, I got a poster for that. Now, remember Roger Shaw?
Yeah.
He got killed, didn't he?
He did. He was killed in a car accident or a motor accident in France, I think.
He was also from Newcastle, from John's neck of the woods, wasn't he? Was he?
Yes,
yeah. Okay, now I want you to say, because you're the only person, I hope you don't mind this. Right. When we left art school, you told me, otherwise I would have not found out, that Eric Hall wanted to fail me, but Patrick Herron congratulated the teachers for keeping me there for the whole time and said that I was teaching them. Maybe I've got this all wrong. And they upped me from a fail to a first class honours pass. Is that right? You tell me that.
I don't recall that. I mean, are you sure? I don't think it was me that told you that. I know that Patrick Herron did whack our grades up to first class.
Okay.
So he was Patrick Herron was a teacher at Leicester?
No, he was the external moderator, him and Peter Startup.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's good enough. I can handle that. That's good enough. That'll keep me going for the thing.
I don't know anything about them wanting to fail you, though, Bob.
Okay. No, I just remember that from the time, because... No, I'm sure you told me that. You've probably forgotten. All right, now let's recreate some of the atmosphere at Leicester while we were there. Is he there yet? Is John there yet?
No, I've got a voice message on my Skype from him, and I've not played it yet, so I don't know what it says.
Right, I'm asking Sarah.
Bob, if you ask Derek to ask John to call in, he'll latch on to us.
All right, Derek. Okay. You got that? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's play our three in a row, shall we?
Well, we're trying
to call on.
I should say we're trying to set up a three-way Skype here. Aren't
we?
Yeah. With two guys from.
All right. While you're doing that, we're going to play our first three in a row. That's like that's your choice, no, John's choice, your choice, and my choice. Okay, can you go into that? Can you do it?
What do we start with?
Sunhouse. This is John.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming up, listeners.
This is.
Thank you. Yeah, oh, Pearlene, matter with you?
I've sent him a message. He doesn't answer the phone, so I've had to send him a message. I think he's tried. He's tried. The voice message says he's tried, but he can't get through. To him.
Yes, I'm doing fine.
This isn't mine. Mine was true.
It's been so long now.
Oh, sorry, it is. It's Elvis, isn't it? Time slips away.
It was only yesterday.
Because I was trying to sift through hundreds of records that meant something to me, and it became impossible. So I'm very kind, just a couple of nice songs, you know, nice,
how's
like,
full of,
it was romantic, little, nice little song, and funny how time slips away seemed very appropriate. It is one of my favourite Elvis.
Heard you told him
kiss, baby.
I would
that you love him until the end.
I would
time.
Think early.
Okay. Right, where's the date?
Why, you know, well,
that's
about
early 70s, I would have thought. It's from one of his live albums. But I think it's an early 70s one.
Well, it seems like North Hawaii.
Yeah. Ain't it funny? Everything's gone quiet now.
Has it? No, I'm all right. I'm here.
Right.
Everything's gone quiet. Sounds like we're in the hospital or something. He's died. Hey, they should be recording. None of this is going up, so you're all right. Or maybe it is. Is it?
So is Elvis a favourite of yours, Decca?
It is. I mean, it's just impossible. There are so many great records over the years that it's impossible to... For various reasons, it's impossible to, you know, to pick the kind of ultimate two.
Yeah.
Like Van Morrison, I drove through Africa listening to Van Morrison, great memories and things like that. But it, at the end of the day, it came down to pick two records, and these are two records I like from around that late 60s, 70s period.
Yeah, yeah.
So why were you driving through Africa?
I was on holiday. I was my brother was living in Swaziland, and we went over to spend the summer with him. And we drove around southern Africa in an old VW Kombi, going to Botswana and what was then South Africa, and was then Rhodesia. So we just drove around southern Africa all summer, listening to tapes of Too Late to Stop Now by Van Morrison.
So is that your next choice?
Nah, he's got...
No.
Buddy Holly, isn't it?
Yeah, Buddy Holly, because I grew up with Buddy Holly. You know, it was... Elvis and Buddy Holly were the singers that from my very early youth, I kind of related to and impressed me.
Yeah.
Very, among many.
Very sentimental.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were the two biggies, Buddy Holly and Elvis. They represent Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison and all of that. And then you've got Gene Vincent and Elvis on the other side, isn't it? They were the two competing camps. You had the Rockets and the...
But it could easily have been a Roy Orbison that I chose. But
yeah, me too.
I only have two choices, so...
Right, are we going to get Johnny Marnigan? That's you, man.
Is that me?
Yeah, get on the switches.
Okay.
This is. I'll give you a little cover in this while it's coming up. This is, I was in the Senior Scouts, and we were in Richmond. I had my short trousers on. We went into a coffee bar, and this is what was playing, and it was my first jazz LP. And this is my soul. This is more my inner identity than anything. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
I used to whistle that on the way to school. That, then Charlie Parker, and then Ornette Coleman. I used to like do a medley of the three, and that was my, that was, but that one more than anything, man.
So we failed with John then.
So far, yeah.
But we've still got Derek.
Yeah.
Who you called Deco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was his nickname.
No, it was my nickname for him. I don't know. Is it your real, is it your nickname, Deco? Do other people call you that? Or?
Deco, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they did then.
Uh-huh.
They don't, students didn't call it.
Oh, right. He was a teacher. You headed up a pre-dip department at Warrington, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what do you remember about Leicester at the time?
Well, for me, it was a magical time. I was growing up. Hmm. I'd never lived away from home before. So I was growing up in that respect, and certainly in terms of creative work, I think we probably hit Leicester, as far as I can see, at its most, probably its most prolific creative stage.
Well, that was when old Harry Thubron came in, wasn't it?
Harry Thubron, John Thompson, Martin Shuttleworth, people like that, who happened to start the year that we started.
That's it. And then they left the year we left, didn't they?
Yeah.
But do you remember anything about the town? I mean, apart from the art school, did you get out into the town?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
where did you go?
Well, one thing I always remember about Leicester was that Sunday was the loneliest day of the week.
Ah. There was nothing happening.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Except the cinema.
Yes.
So I used to go to the cinema.
Which one?
I can't remember the
name.
It
was the Art House one, wasn't it?
Well, there was the Cameo on High Street.
The Cameo, that's the one.
On High Street.
Yeah, I think it was... I remember going to see Norman Wisdom films.
Wow.
Oh, no. He's my favourite.
The square peg.
Mr.
At that time, you could go into the cinema and sit there all day, watch the film time after time after time. And I would literally spend all Sunday watching the Norman Wisdom film.
There you go. Mr. Dribble, was it? Mr. Tibble. Tibble, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but what about...
Leicester Market. I've never seen anything like Leicester Market before. No. You know, it was just an amazingly big market. And
So have you been back?
I went back when I was working. I had a conference in Leicester, yeah. And I went back for that. I was just there a day, but it was so totally different.
Yeah, but the market's still there.
Yeah, but I mean the roads around the market, I couldn't even find the market.
Right.
I got off the train.
Well, Bob was playing Jerry Mulligan a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I wonder if either of you remember the Chameleon Coffee Bar.
No.
Which always used to play jazz. They used to play John Coltrane. And
don't like
it. It was run by someone called Pete Josephs on King Street.
King Street, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a little... It was sort of Leicester's only kind of bohemian coffee bar.
Do you remember that, Decker? I don't remember it.
I spent more time in pubs than coffee bars, actually.
Ah, there we are then, OK.
That's it. So what else? You tell us about... William, your turn. You tell us about Leicester.
Well, I just mentioned the Chameleon. I didn't go to pubs, you see.
You didn't?
No.
Why not?
But I actually lived in a village called Tugby, which was...
Where was that near?
On the Uppingham Road, 12 miles.
On the Uppingham Road.
Yeah, so there were only two buses a day, so...
Oh, OK.
But we used to go to the cinema on a Sunday afternoon.
What
did you see?
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know if you remember, there was a place called... Oh, crikey, I can't remember what it's called now. The Cine Centre opened up.
Yeah. What about the Phoenix Theatre?
Hang on, but it was three small cinemas.
That's
the first
Cineplex.
One. And they showed kind of art house films.
Oh, that's probably the one.
It was on the ground floor of the multi-story car park.
Yeah.
Right.
On Abbey Street, I think. Abbey Road, something like that. Yeah. St. Margaret's bus station.
Oh, yeah. That's the other side of Leicester, isn't it?
Yeah. So the memories are flooding back now, aren't they?
Yeah. So I mean, they're coming and going. Yeah. I've got no short-term memory. I'm sorry.
So what do you do now, Derek? What, you're still an artist?
I'm retired. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm retired. As Bob said, I left Leicester in '69 and went to the Slade. I did postgraduate work at the Slade.
Yeah.
And then I started lecturing. And I did that for 38 years and then retired.
Right.
So now I just enjoy life for me for a change instead of for other people.
So you're on the Isle of Mull?
I am. I'm on holiday on the Isle of Mull. I don't live there.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm on holiday.
So we've disturbed your holiday. We've disturbed your peace.
Bob never disturbs my holidays. Anything, Bob.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Man, Decker was the one person to write to me after I left art school when I went to Los Angeles. So I used to get these letters from England in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
I got them from John as well, but anyhow.
Yeah.
So he was, I don't think we talked very much when we were at art school. It was more afterwards, wasn't it? Really, because you were up one end of the factory doing these hard edge 12-foot by 95-foot paintings with rollers, and I was at the other end doing my epileptic fits. Do you remember? Do you remember when I got all the road was dug up, so I got the road into my area, and then I got a traffic light in there, and I put, I don't know what else I put in there, I put everything that was, a building was demolished, I got a door frame, and then do you remember I bought that in with Beryl, do you remember Big Beryl?
Yeah, Beryl Farmer.
Yeah, she got the other end of the thing. And we put it down, and John Thompson was there saying, and he laid inside it, and he said, "You want to make a velvet-lined coffin out of this?" I didn't do it.
Remember? I remember Thompson Lyon in it.
Yeah. Smoking the cigarette, wasn't he? I think you don't remember that. Do you know he died?
No. Well, I didn't. I think it was you. It was either you or John.
John told us, yeah. Yeah, because he was with Becky Guggenheim, wasn't he? He was out there in Venice before he came over to...
So, Derek, did you see Bob on the TV?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What did you think of the programme?
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. It brought back a lot of memories, although it wasn't specifically about Lester, but, I mean, it's...
No, no.
It brought a lot of memories about Bob, you know. Yeah. Because, I've seen Bob's work over the years because he sent me photographs.
Right.
Even from LA.
Yeah.
Whereas other people haven't probably seen it. And a number of other people that I know are shocked and surprised at the portraits because they've never seen that kind of work from Bob.
Right.
He didn't do that at Leicester. There was no there was no indication that was going on at Leicester.
It was all abstract, so it was quite a surprise. We were all abstract, weren't we?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't only abstract, Bob. It was extreme.
Yeah, I could say that. Because Robin Klasnick, I've got to tell you this, man. Sorry to bust in there, William. Sorry. But I was there digging holes, wasn't I? And Robin Klasnick saw me digging holes outside. And I was the first hole digger, I think, of the avant-garde.
Do you think Bob went sort of off the map a bit, Derek?
I've always thought that... I've always thought it was underrated.
Right.
I mean, I've never been able to relate personally to performance. I'm a painter. That's all I ever was. That's all I was ever interested in. I wasn't even a sculptor. I was a painter.
Yeah.
So performance was something that it's like poetry. I find poetry difficult.
Yeah.
Performance I find difficult. But Bob had such a kind of, burning integrity, really, that it was impossible not to take him seriously.
Right.
It cut across everything that we were taught at Leicester. It cut across everything that I'd ever been taught in art school. But Bob had a kind of innocence. Mm. I know you probably won't agree with this, Bob, but he had a kind of naive innocence.
It's all right, yeah, I can handle that.
That got him through life in a way that it would never have got me through. I remember Bob turning up at my flat at 2 o'clock in the morning in Leicester in his dressing gown with a hot water bottle wrapped in a blanket, holding it to his head because he had earache. Now, he'd walked across town in his dressing gown, holding this blanket to his head. I would have been arrested at the end of the street.
I got to tell you this. Do you know Harry Subron set me up for having sex? I'd never had sex. Can I talk about that on television?
I'll have to ask, radio?
I'll have to ask, hang on a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
right.
You can.
He set me up for having sex. And he set me, do you remember Pauline? Well, Maureen. Yeah. Pauline was Myra's mate, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And he set me up one night with her. And I called my mum up that evening. I said, I've just had sexual intercourse. And it's really good. I've never had... And the phone went dead. Mum got into.
I don't think Pauline.
I think she could. You're gone.
I don't think Pauline was very happy about that one. About you telling people.
Oh, right. Oh, that was probably why she left me after about 2 years.
After about how long?
About an hour. That was my only relationship. I haven't had any since. Oh, no, it was Miriam.
Yeah.
But just going back to what you're asking about Bob.
Yes.
I really always thought he was underrated, although I found it difficult at times. But Bob always did paintings as well, and I found them extremely complex. You know, I think he's one of the most intelligent people I've known for a long, long time.
Do you remember when I came back from New York? I went to New York the first Christmas, and I did a big 12-foot painting in the sculpture department. Yeah, and I got like 25 pounds of oil paints and put scaffolding up, and they couldn't make head or tail of it, really, could they? It kind of got bigger and bigger. And then, remember I got the clothesline... And hitched it up one side of the sculpture department and then the other side, and I made this aquarium and I put glass in it, and for a porthole, because it was my first experience of flying. And I was standing on the top of these 12-foot ladders, bending over backwards, sort of, you know, risking life and limb. And then I got like £25 worth, I think it's £25, of sellotape. And I started doing this big column of sellotape going down to the ground. And it picked up, you know, like when you have oil on top of water, it picks up, it breaks the prism down. I got this colour cascading all the way up through the sellotape because it's very thin. And what's his name? Phil Hartis. You probably don't remember him. He taught John Lennon at the Liverpool Art School, actually. He was saying, you know, he said it was terrific and I should take a bit away. And I took the whole thing away. So anyhow, but that was a short-lived thing to have done. Sorry, I've come in.
No, that's all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, all right. All right, let's play the second three in a row, can we?
If you yes, what is the second? Okay,
right. So starting off with John's choice again. This is from Piero LeFou because that was what he liked.
So John's picked this. This is from the Godard film Piero LeFou.
And he's not here to justify it, but anyhow, we're playing it for him. And he says to cut off after 3 minutes. And then Decca's Buddy Holly, True Love Ways, and I'm going to finish it up with my favourite. One of my favourites is Roland Kirker. I saw him at St Pancras Town Hall. And it was terrific.
Okay, all right.
I can't see you. I'm texting, I'm sending a message to say Skype in now.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by know true love ways. his wheels sigh. Sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love why. Throughout the day, our true love will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry.
Okay, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com. And it's Bob Parks' show today with his two friends from Leicester. And we have finally made contact with John in Aquitaine.
Hello, John.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Great, yeah. How about yourself, man?
Yeah, good.
We got Deck to speak for a lot, actually.
Yeah, so, no, it's extraordinary, isn't it? He does talk. He does yap on a bit when he gets started, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
Some of it, and just being desperate to just chip in with something, but I've forgotten everything now.
Oh, you've been there, or you've heard him, okay.
Well, I've been listening to it, I've just been waiting. I didn't, I mean, you know, I can't organise the technology at all.
No. Well, who can?
So
look, as you know, there is no such thing as technology.
Well, Derek is in on this as well. We've got Derek somewhere.
You there, Decker?
Yeah, I can't hear John, though.
You can't hear John? John, speak up a bit. Decker can't hear you, man.
I can't shut the island mall.
You weren't about to hear him.
All right, I can hear you both. Okay, right. Sorry about that, Deck. It's a three-way conversation, only it's three-way at this end. Only you're...
Yeah, as long as you can hear him.
Yeah, I got it.
With two anchors and an engineer.
I can hear Decker as well, but I mean, you can, yeah.
Is that all right, John? Do you mind not hearing Decker?
No, John can
no, I don't mind at all.
John can hear Decker.
Yeah,
but Decker can't hear
Decker
John.
Decker can't hear John.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just make
that's all right.
Okay. That's all right. We can live with that. Okay.
Carry on.
Yeah, carry on. All right. Tell me about Leicester and Oldenburg and you screwing up the newspaper and making those big calves, filling up all the space everyone
that's
got.
A massive thing, yeah. Yeah, it was a big thing. It was a big. Well, I was screwing everything up with screwing everything up in general. But newspaper, not newspaper. It was just paper. It was just lining paper. I think it was making big cars out of them. And then the columns in the factory up there were they were converted into palm trees. So it was a thing about
the palm trees.
It was a Vietnam thing. It was sort of, in a vague way, anti-Vietnam thing. And then I ran out with, do you remember Bilko, the Edlington Terrier that we had?
No.
No, you probably never came to our place. We weren't allowed, I think.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't go to your place.
What was it?
With good reason, maybe.
I was an innocent. Remember what Decker said? I was an innocent, naive little boy.
Yes, I just heard that story about...
We all were, Bob.
Christ,
we all were. Well, let's tell some stories about Italy. Okay, so go on, carry on. Sorry.
No, well, Italy, I was never...
You weren't there then. You'd gone by that time, man.
No, I hadn't gone by then. I just couldn't afford to go there, you swine.
All right.
It's all for the posh people, lad.
All right, middle class. That's me and me. That's middle class. Oh, okay.
I've eaten more coal than Deckers have eaten.
Okay. Right. So, I don't know.
Okay. John, what do you remember about Leicester?
Leicester was a great time for me. I loved it very much. It was. I loved meeting all those people and everything. All the people we met and everything like that. But basically, it was a good eye-opening time. The thing is, Leicester Art College was great at that time because when Harry Thubrin arrived here, he had a terrible reputation for. I'd known about him by reputation from some people that were tutors at Newcastle, and at the Art College at Newcastle, and his reputation was that they all wrote around as Doc Martens on booted people if they were thinking too much. Everybody had to work on the floor and charcoal on paper, just bits of paper, and they used to get kicked if they were thinking too much. That was the reputation of him, but he was actually a sweet guy. He's a beautiful guy.
I was hitchhiking, John, in Italy before I came to art school. I went around Europe, and I bumped into Ehrenzweig's son. And Ehrenzweig, he wrote The Hidden Order of Art. He was a friend of his family and Duda, Harry Thubrons, were close.
Yeah.
And he introduced me. I did pre-dip at Chelsea, and he said, what you've got to do is say something stupid at the ICA, get a reputation, and use Chelsea as a base. So
yeah,
that's right.
I think that's. I think that was shown by the fact that he defended me in spite of all kinds of odds. Against all odds, John Thompson was his acolyte at the time.
Yeah.
And he was my personal tutor, and he was...
Was he?
Guy.
Yeah, he was the outstanding one. Coming up from Chelsea, I could tell he had more style than anyone.
Yeah, that's right.
He had good colour. Good colour sense.
Great. He's a great man.
Yeah. Now, tell me about Peter Quince. Peter Quince and the famous confrontation with John Thompson. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember it.
Oh, you know...
Quince having a confrontation.
He got him crying, and
he made Thompson cry.
Yeah, it was wonderful. We were cheering.
It's coming back to me now.
Yeah, because he was absolutely totally, you know, like how John Thompson was very intellectual, and you know the whole aesthetic side. He was promoting that, you know, for us working class kids, and Peter Quince was the one who had no idea of anything, and he just, you know, not interested, and he couldn't get him interested.
Very odd character. He did do some work in. I was talking to Decker about him the other night, and. Yeah. He said that he'd gone. I knew he'd gone to Holland, and he said something to disreputable about him, you know, kind of saying, you know, he's a bit of a W.A. and no.
I've told him not to swear. You see, because
no,
Susan no. said that.
he was wanting,
but I couldn't get the dot.
You got it, man.
But he was a bit of a lurker. He did. He was an evil presence, wasn't he? He's like the Lincoln Inn.
He was. He was all right, wasn't he?
I thought he was okay because when I went on Facebook before I just destroyed, you know, kind of copped out of it again.
Yeah.
When I first went on, I was talking to him a little bit and he sounded like an interesting guy again. He seemed to be quite keen.
He spent all this time on this fiberglass sort of thing of a woman that was kind of cubist style, and then he sanded it all down and put about 5 coats of lacquer on top of it, and he spent all his time doing that towards the end, and nobody liked it.
So what did John do?
Well, no, he left.
No, but he left art school.
Yeah.
Well, what has he been doing
he's
since?
He's there. He's there. Talk to him.
I know. But John, what did you do there since you art school?
I did leave art school.
What did you do after art school?
After, I went straight to, went with a broken heart to London and met up with this guy who I'd worked for before in theatre.
But why did you have a broken heart? What was that?
Well, I had a bad liver and a broken heart. I mean, no, it's just a marriage broke up, a marriage. I shouldn't have got married in the first place. Anyway, I shouldn't have been allowed to have a dog even, let alone a wife.
Right. Double trouble, as they say.
But did you remain an...
Right, you know, some of us shouldn't be allowed to breathe. Breed, I mean.
Breed or breathe.
So, he wasn't right about that one, but I think breathing might be an element in the thing.
So, but did you stay an artist? Were you an artist? Have you lived the life of an artist for the last 40 years?
Well, in certain ways, yes. I mean, I've everything I learned at art college has been projected into what I did. I worked as an actor and I worked with a company called Moving Being for a long while, lots of time, long time, and it was a mixed media company. I was finding visual material and stuff like that, and then and eventually they were actors and dancers that act and actors that dance, and it was a little mixture of things. It was a great time because it just opened up, you know. Art college at that time, I think, gave us all a fantastic attitude to life. I think we're all very lucky that we got that.
Ken said, Ken Ford, you probably don't have much to do with sculpture, but he said, we all were trying to have a non-artistic approach to art and to work to not have preconceived ideas. So, you know, whatever you do is what you do. You know.
Can you join in, though?
What's that?
Yeah, no, what about Derek?
Derek, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't drop off there, did you know, Derek?
All right, go on. What do you want to do, William?
Nothing. I was just wondering if Derek was still part of the trio.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I'm just... I can hear mumblings of John, but I can't really make out what he's saying, but it's fine.
It's pretty much the same as
you. I'm interested. I'm still here.
Okay, good.
You're talking about the kind of... When you get to art college, what Ken Ford said to you.
Yeah.
When I first got to Newcastle... I was bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, as we all were, with our drawing boards under our arms. And,
yeah, I got it, yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And this guy called Fenwick Lawson, I was telling Decker about it the other day. Fenwick Lawson was a brutalist sculptor, you know, kind of old, rusty...
Carl Appel and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, then again, they went to the New Contemporaries exhibition and they came back and everything had to be painted.
Oh, God.
You know, they suddenly got hard-edged, really hard-edged. No rust, just that all, everything had to be painted, which was fine. Yeah. But when I got there, we were all sitting there, and he got up and he said, "You're not here because you can talk, you can draw pretty drawings, you know."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You're here because you're going to try to find out something about yourself."
There you go. You know, there it is.
It was a great thing. That was a great thing to say.
Yeah.
Because everybody thought they were there because they were good at art in school. You know.
Well, I remember one thing. There was a guy in the year below us, and he'd just been for his interview, and he came out in a huff. He said, "I'm not here on an ego trip."
That's very bizarre.
I remember that. You just remember these little moments.
Bob, you better tell us who we've been talking to, because we don't really know the names of these people.
John Cassidy Carter. Tell us why you started off as Carter and you became Cassidy. Tell us about that.
Because when I got started taking myself seriously as an actor, I started to get these things. You know, I was doing the Lenny Bruce show and I did Billy the Kid solo shows, you know, around, touring around, things like that. And basically, I wanted to join Equity because I was starting to take myself a little bit seriously and you couldn't get any further, so I had to change my name because I think it was John Cato was an actor at the time and they thought it might confuse people, and he never got reviews as good as mine, baby.
There you go. And who's Derek? What's Derek's name?
No, it's Neil Cassidy, wasn't it? The old...
That's right. I changed it because I was playing Neil Cassidy, the kind of the muse of... Jack Kerouac in On the Road.
That's it.
So it's John Cassidy Carter in Aquitaine.
Yeah, and Decker up in Mull. He's from Whitehaven.
What's Decker's second name?
Fy.
Fy. F-E-Y.
F-Y-E.
Yeah, F-Y-E. So Derek Fy.
Here we go. Let me try a bit of my Geordie. You're doing all right, mate. How are you doing, Decker?
he's not a Geordie, he's a Mac.
He's the other side, isn't it?
Oh,
oh, what's 100 miles?
All right, let me try a bit of Leicester. Me duck.
Oh, me duck. Yeah.
Oh, me duck. Aye. Yeah.
A Decker.
It was Teggies. I was Teggies.
What?
It was Teggies.
Teggies.
Oh, you say something?
Teggies.
Teeth.
Yeah, Teggies.
Teeth. Yeah.
Yeah, teeth.
Yeah.
Right. 5 minutes to go, guys. What are we going to do? William, have you got a record?
I'll play a quick record.
William's going to play a quick record.
This is only a minute long.
It's only a minute long, yeah. Okay. Why am I repeating everything?
Oh,
One of my record choices was almost Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim.
Oh, hey, you should have gone for that, man. Does this remind you of something?
Oh, my God.
This is me at the other end of the art. Oh, this takes me back. Now, this is real acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any idea who it is? Let me guess. Cyril Stapleton.
It's not Joe Lott.
All right. I don't know. Damien Hirst.
That's Henry Flint.
Right.
Henry Flint, I don't know that name.
Is he from the Flintstones?
No. Henry Flint, famous Fluxus artist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Fluxus.
Yeah, in fact, that dates...
Do you know Fluxus people? You know, Mac Adam and, what's it? Oh, God, I forgot his bloody name.
Yoko, I know it was Fluxus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Well, that track dates from 1963, in fact. Yeah. Strangely.
Wow.
Well, Bob Parks, what does the future hold?
Oh, I'm doing a wood carving, and...
You've been to Frieze, haven't you?
Yeah. Yesterday.
Did anyone recognise you?
The Tate when I went there.
Yeah.
I got someone, I'm honoured to have you here, and they recognised me, and I said, oh, God. And I went for my ticket. I said, I've got my ticket. And they said, no. And so I gave them my papal blessing.
Yeah.
Peace on you, my son. May the Lord, may the stars shine down on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you getting in free then, Bobby?
Hopefully. No, I can get in with my South Bank thing. So, but hopefully I'll draw some benefits. I don't know. Mm. Marcus was ill today. I was going to meet him yesterday at Frieze. So I sniffed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, so Frieze was a lot of rubbish, really, wasn't it?
I haven't been yet.
Don't bother. It's very capitalistic. It's capitalistic abstraction, basically. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun, man. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Oh, and there was a wonderful Emil Nolde painting. Uh-huh. Oh, it moved me to tears. And then they had John Hoyland, who was one of my tutors at Chelsea.
Right, yeah.
Hoyland. And there was two what's the guy's name? Craig Kaufman, who's a good one from the Ferris Gallery in LA. You know, that whole group of Keenholtz and everybody. He was the one guy not to be famous from that lot, Robert Irwin. Four of his pieces, man. Four of his. That was really good. So there was some good stuff there, despite.
Jolly good. You've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, starring Bob Parks and his two friends from Leicester, Derek Fye. And John Cassidy Carter in Aquitaine.
Cassidy actually comes right down there, but nevertheless.
And
thanks a lot, guys. I'm sorry I was late arriving.
No, that's great. That's right. gave it a bit of like. Anticipation.
Yeah, spontaneity.
Thank you very much, William.
Engineered by Sarah.
Good old Sarah, she's here.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah.
All right. Okay, man.
And I think that's...
That's it. All right, thanks, guys. I'll be in touch afterwards. I'll email you, okay? Hello, okay, Mum. Hello, Ken, if you're listening, by the way. Ken Ford. Yeah. I asked him to listen.
Hello,
he might.
You never used to have very much to do with each
other,
but...
No, it is middle class, isn't it?
I've got nothing against people as long as they're okay. Those are cool.